Supreme Court will not hear two abortion cases brought by pro-lifers.
Without comment, justices turned away pleas from pro-life groups to make it easier for them to protest outside abortion clinics. The cases from Chicago and Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, had challenged ordinances that restrict the behavior of pro-life activists outside clinics. Since the late 1990s, the High Court has heard several cases involving demonstration-free zones called buffer zones. In 2014, justices unanimously struck down a law that created a 35-foot protest-free zone outside Massachusetts abortion clinics. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott ordered that face coverings must be worn in public across most of the state. The move announced Thursday is a dramatic ramp-up of the Republican governor's efforts to control spiking numbers of confirmed coronavirus cases and hospitalizations. Dr. James McDivitt of the Baylor College of Medicine says there's a need to report ICU capacity.
This is a very difficult needle to thread, that on the one hand, we want to create open and honest communication with people in the community so they understand how serious the situation is, because it is a very serious situation.
The U.S. on Wednesday recorded 50,700 new cases, according to a tally kept by Johns Hopkins University. Many U.S. states, including Florida, Texas, and Arizona, are struggling to contain the spread of the pandemic. President Trump says the June jobs numbers were better than expected.
The United States economy added almost 5 million jobs in the month of June, shattering all expectations. I was watching this morning, and the expectations were much lower than that.
The unemployment rate dropped from 13.3% in May to 11.1% in June. On Wall Street, the Dow by 92 points, the NASDAQ rose 53, the S&P advanced 14. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you've fallen behind in your credit card payments during the shutdown, you're probably feeling some added pressures. And even a brief history of late payments can lead to a big drop in your credit score. But you don't have to solve these problems alone. Trinity Debt Management can help. We'll work with your creditors, put a stop to late fees and other penalties, and make a plan that helps you get caught up. We'll also consolidate your bills into one easy-to-manage monthly payment and negotiate much lower interest rates. Not only will you find immediate relief, you'll save thousands. And don't worry, it's not a loan. It's a smart way to get back on track. All you have to do is give Trinity a quick call, and we'll take care of the rest. Right now, no one really knows what the future will bring. But one thing is for sure. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Here's the number.
Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor of Nevada. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors. During the COVID-19 business shutdown, the Department of Homeland Security has categorized bicycle shops as essential businesses. We've been servicing a lot of bikes to help people get their two-wheeled transportation up and running. Many people who are losing their jobs are now using their bicycles for transportation. They don't have money for their car or their insurance, so they'll use a bike to get around. Our community is also using them as a way to get outdoors, stay in shape, and enjoy the fresh air. If you need help dusting off the cobwebs and getting on your bike, we're here to service you curbside from 9 to 5 daily. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215, as well as the Bonneville Transit Center downtown Las Vegas. Our phone number is 702-596-2953.
It's 3:04. This is a KMZQ Newsflash. I'm Jim Dallas. Governor Sisolak has called for a special legislative session for July 8th. That's next Wednesday, so state lawmakers can deal with Nevada's budget shortfall caused by the COVID-19 pandemic. Preliminary numbers show a more than a $1.3 billion budget shortfall for 2021 fiscal year, which began yesterday. Well, the Silver State will remain in Phase 2 of the Roadmap to Recovery until the end of July. The latest directive from Governor Sisolak keeps that in place for another month. The number of confirmed cases of the coronavirus statewide stands at more than 18,456, with 15,604 of those cases in Clark County. The statewide death toll is 507, 420 of those in southern Nevada. The Federal Trade Commission has given a thumbs up to Eldorado Resorts' $17 billion merger with Caesars Entertainment. The decision signals the commission has cleared any antitrust concerns about the deal, which will create the largest casino company in the world. Special meetings to consider the Eldorado Resort Caesar Entertainment deal have now been set here in Nevada. The State Gaming Control Board and the Nevada Gaming Commission have scheduled meetings on July 10th.
KMCQ On-Time Traffic
is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
As we take a look at the traffic cams right now, we're getting some heavy volumes on the Beltway, 215 east at Valley Verde, west 215 at Green Valley. Those lane restrictions continue. Pecos at the 215 and moderate flows. That's 15 northbound at Tropicana.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step, a lot of evil, a lot of bad people, a lot of bad people, a lot of fake media. Look at them, a lot of fake media.
Listen up.
NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out.
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. AM 670 KMZQ, the new home of yours truly, Kevin Wall, broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip on AM 670 KMZQ. Great to have you with us. Tell you what, let's do. Let's check in because there is so much good news going around. Let's check in with Dan Eberhardt. He is the CEO of Canary LLC, a Denver-based drilling service company, and the managing partner of Eberhardt Capital. And he joins us. Dan, the news on the jobs report, overwhelming, better than anybody, even in the White House. Even the most optimistic people in the White House thought was possible. What did you make of the numbers today?
Well, the numbers are terrific. I mean, I think this is the good news of good news, right? I mean, 4.8 million new jobs. The unemployment rate going from 14.7% to 11.1%. This is great news for everybody.
Now, why is this happening? It's supposed to be going the other way. We're supposed to have 30 million people unemployed, and yet the numbers are good.
Well, I think the economy is a little bit like a stretched rubber band. I mean, everybody sat at home and everybody kind of stood out from a bunch of economic activity, but. You know, people want new cars, people want to change homes, people want to buy stuff, and people want to participate in the economy. So I think we're seeing some good news here. And, you know, really, it seems like some of the stimulus programs like the PPP, you know, is a bridge to kind of keep people employed or have worked and are working. So I'm hopeful. The other thing that's going on is this whole situation is completely unprecedented. So I think a lot of economists just don't have past models to look at, and this is a new ball game for everybody.
So it's almost as if this is uncharted water, and we're just going to all have to see together how this thing plays out. We've got the spike in coronavirus stuff. What do you make of that, and do you think that these numbers, these great numbers we're seeing, are going to blow up in our face in a month or 2 months or 3 months?
I hope not. I think if we have kind of qualified closures and we nibble around the edges and get a little bit smarter about how we quarantine and how we self-isolate and who's doing it, hopefully we can do that and protect people, but at the same time kind of move our economy forward, because we basically have to. We can't be hermit crabs forever. So, you know, I'm hoping that there's a path forward where we can be successful and also keep vulnerable populations safe. But I think there's a few things we need to worry about.
Again, Dan Eberhardt joining us from Canary LLC, a Denver-based drilling services company and the managing partner of Eberhardt Capital. What are the things you fear? You say that there are things, though, that maybe we need to know about.
Yeah, well, first of all, I mean, we've got 15 million more people unemployed than were unemployed in February. So May and June have really been fabulous, but we've definitely got a ways to go. Secondly, you know, people are wondering, is the PPP program, was that a bridge to nowhere where we kept people employed, but the unemployment's going to fall out when the money is out? Or was it a bridge to a sunnier time and those jobs are now saved? You know, so we've got this kind of false floor possibility. The other thing is the unemployment rate is maybe 1% or so higher because the data collection just can't keep up with what's going on, and the systems weren't built for what's happening right now.
So what happens from here? We've got more coronavirus. We have you know, for the 4th of July, beaches are closing in Florida and in Texas and different places like that. Is there a possibility that this negative is going to rear its ugly head in the economy over the course of the next month or so?
Oh, I think there's a definite possibility, but I really think this rubber band concept is the right way to think about it. And I think that things aren't going to close. I think we're going to have selected things close and nibble around the edges. But the main thrust of economic activity is going to continue. So I think the jobs number will be good in July, but just less good than this 4.8 number. This may be, just so your listeners understand, Kevin, this may be the best month for job creation that anybody sees in their lifetime. There's a great probability of that.
Is it possible we'll see even better numbers next month?
It is possible, but I think 4.8 million jobs in 1 month is astounding.
Well, and now we've got, just going into effect yesterday, the USMCA, kind of the NAFTA 2.0, went into effect yesterday. The president, he has fought for free trade and fair trade, and yesterday that commitment was culminated with the USMCA. First of all, explain why NAFTA was so bad for America.
Well, first of all, I mean, people old enough to remember will remember Ross Perot and the giant sucking sound. But, you know, USMCA to me is the perfect thing that shows what Trump can do and what Trump is capable of. NAFTA has been broken and a disservice to America for a long time. Obama and Biden could have had 8 years to fix it, and they didn't. Trump has had 3 years, and he got it at 3.5 years, and he got it done. So it's good for agriculture. Mexico will now accept U.S. agricultural products. It's going to be great for the automotive industry, so American automotive workers are going to be paid a little bit better, and we're going to see a few more cars made in North America rather than Europe and rather than Asia because of the plan. And we're going to be able to export U.S. energy cheaper to and easier to Mexico from the U.S. So it's really supposed to have a net positive impact of jobs, job creation, about 176,000 jobs in the next 2 years. So I think this is really a great win for America.
And by the way, I haven't seen Joe Biden come out of his basement, you know, espousing the wonders of NAFTA. It's almost as like he's afraid to even use the word.
Well, I think this is a losing issue for him because this is a perfect example of what Obama and Biden couldn't get done and what Trump has got done.
That is incredible. Dan Eberhardt joining us. We're talking about the future. We're also talking about the near past. I know a lot of talk in Washington and around the country about police reform legislation. The Tim Scott bill, Democrats didn't even want to talk about it. Much less try and amend it into something they could live with. What is your feel for what's going on relative to this police reform stuff that we're talking about, and where it's going to end up? Dan, are you there? I have apparently lost Dan. I have lost Dan Eberhardt. Don't ask me how I did it, but I did it. I pushed the wrong button. I do it all the time. Sorry about that. Oh, there you are. There you are.
I'm here.
No, I was just going to ask you the police reform stuff, the congressional reaction. The Democrats like the Nancy Pelosi bill and the George Floyd justice and policing bill. Tim Scott's bill in the Senate is embraced by Republicans. What do you make of what's going on? And do you think Congress will be able to come together on something?
I hope that Congress will be able to come together on something, but I really think that we've got to think long and hard about this. This defund the police movement just doesn't make any sense to me. I think we need to look at reforms and trying to lessen police brutality, but at the same time, this idea of just stripping funding for no reason it just seems like a Democrat primary applause line to me.
We know that in Seattle, they have torn down the makeshift city, the autonomous zone, but now we've got one in New York, and there's no word yet on when that thing's going to be coming down. Are we going to see more of these types of autonomous zones elsewhere in America? Is that what we're headed for? A bunch of these in different cities?
I sure hope not. You know, I like to think that this is a country where, you know, property rights are respected. I do think that, you know, Trump needs to be focused on being a healer in chief, and we should try to look at how we can bring, you know, everybody into the economy and give everybody opportunity. But ultimately, we need property rights respected or the system is going to break down even more.
I think the best example of that is in St. Louis, Mark McCluskey, he and his wife Patricia, defending their home with semi-automatic weapons. And now the circuit attorney in St. Louis is trying to.
That's a great example.
You know, I think we're having some phone difficulties. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. We will get Dan back, and we'll talk about jobs and what lies ahead for our economy. We'll do that and more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ.
You can listen to the radio again on the weekends. On Saturday, you can enjoy Handle on the Law, Leo Laporte, the Tech Guy, Real Estate Today, and Las Vegas Rocks with Vegas insider Ron Garrett. AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
What did I tell you? I told you we'd all get through the darkest hours of the COVID-19 pandemic together. And we did. We survived. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Throughout the governor's stay-at-home orders, Francois and all my friends at Ichabod's Lounge on East Flamingo at Pecos stayed open 24/7 to serve up the same amazing food that Vegas residents have come to expect the past 30 years. But now Governor Sisolak says it's okay to get out of the house, to reconnect with old friends, to have fun. Best place to do that is at Ichabod's Lounge. They've completed extensive remodeling that will allow you to play on one of 15 machines while adhering to social distancing and mandated cleanliness. So at Ichabod's Lounge, you can still have fun and still stay safe. Ichabod's Lounge is back, featuring old school Vegas atmosphere and one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas. Ichabod's Lounge, open 24/7, vintage Vegas dining, gaming lounge, and piano bar on East Flamingo at Pecos. Have fun at Ichabod's Lounge.
When you need legal expertise, you got a lot of options. Heck, just spend a few minutes watching local TV, you'll see plenty of legal help. Hey, Kevin Wall here. Look, no one ever wants to need an attorney. But when you do, it's important to hire one who knows the law. But more importantly, you need an attorney who shares your conservative values. That's why my small business, Battleborn Radio, trusts Craig Mueller to handle all our legal needs. Craig was born and raised here in Las Vegas, and he's our legal expert on Live and Local Now. Craig's been defending the Constitution for more than 3 decades, protecting your rights. And if you're hurt, in a car accident, or on the job, Craig Mueller will get you the money you deserve. I trust Craig Mueller with my small business. You can too. Call Craig at 702-887-1731. That's 702-887-1731. 887-1731. Or visit Craig online at CraigMuellerLawyer.com. That's CraigMuellerLawyer.com.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
The self-diagnosis from Dan Eberhardt, it was an earbuds issue. It's been corrected, and he is back with us. I want to talk to you, though, about jobs coming up. We had the great jobs report, 4.8 million new jobs in the month of June. And looking down the road, are we ever going to get back to that that point where the Dow was at 29,500, and the fact is that it was the best economy I think most of us who've been alive for any length of time have ever seen. Will we ever get to that point, assuming that we do get our hands around the coronavirus?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think the economy will continue to grow. It's just we kind of come back with an economy 10% smaller, and we're going to have to grow from there. But look, I mean, you know, all through history, things have happened and calamities and whatever. I think we're going to get through this, but I think it's going to take, you know, 18, 24 months until we have an economy that was the same size as what we had. And remember, you know, 3% unemployment when this thing happened, you know, a lot of people think 2% unemployment is just transitional friction that you're going to have regardless. So, I mean, we had really astounding 50-year lows of unemployment when this happened. So, you know, the economy is pretty is very resilient and will bounce back. And one day that both the Dow will be higher and the unemployment number will be lower than what it was. I just don't know how long.
Dan Eberhardt joining us from Canary LLC. He is the CEO of that organization, a Denver-based drilling services company and managing partner of Eberhardt Capital. As you looked at the numbers today, what did you see as far as folks who are doing well in the month of June? Trucking was up. I mean, so many areas were way up, not just a little up, way up. What did you see in the numbers today?
Yeah, I think, you know, trucking and logistics, manufacturing, retail, restaurants, really broad, huge swaths of the economy were up. You know, tech is maybe the least affected by this whole entire situation, but I think we're really seeing a very level and very sturdy recovery right now. It's not one sector leading the charge. It's a bunch of sectors, and I think that's strong, and that's what we want in a healthy economy.
Are there sectors you worry about down the road?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of businesses are going to change. I think, you know, commercial property may have, you know, trouble attracting new tenants. I think the restaurant businesses are going to be really hard-fetched. How do you grow a restaurant chain or open a new restaurant in this environment? Man, I think that takes a lot of intestinal fortitude. I think if you've got, you know, if you own a bunch of hotel debt or own a bunch of hotels, you know, I think you wonder about long-term, how are you going to get back to the same occupancy? So I think some sectors are, you know, you guys are broadcasting from the Vegas Strip, right? I think that's an awful lot of people you need from around the country and around the world to come to Vegas to put up the same numbers, and I think that's just going to take time, unfortunately.
Well, and the whole idea, again, I can't speak for the Strip-operated businesses, but I can tell you this. I've talked to restaurateurs here in the Las Vegas Valley, and the one thing they tell me is their profit margin is 2, maybe 3%. You try operating at 50% capacity, the numbers don't work.
Yeah, nobody's going to open a new restaurant in an environment like this. We're gonna end the year with 10 or 15% less restaurants, guaranteed. You wouldn't open a restaurant like this, and if these restaurants operate unprofitably for 2, 3, 4, 5 months, they're going to be burning working capital. So, you know, I really hope this leads to some kind of creative destruction where we see new business ideas and new companies and new brands flourish, and that something good comes out of this catastrophe.
Does all this revolve around the notion that we're going to have to get our arms around the coronavirus and squeeze the life out of it before anything good can really happen long term? That restaurateurs or hotel people or just business people that are operating at less than 100% capacity, is it possible that we're going to have to find the vaccine, that Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and all these people are going to have to find the vaccine before we can be guaranteed getting our economy up and running for good?
Ultimately, I think so. Look, a second wave is very troubling because what I worry about is kind of capital goods purchases. So our economy is built on 0.5% of people, 0.5% of adults buying a house every month, and 1.5% of adults buying a car every month. And, you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, in my friend circle, that's just not happening right now. So if those kind of purchases aren't happening, and then businesses are more wary of expanding, opening another restaurant, opening another factory, that's where the economic growth comes from. So if that's not operating, we could be in a deflationary environment. So I think that there's a lot to worry about, unfortunately, right now.
That is very troubling news. The president has come out for more direct aid to Americans from the federal government, more of those $1,200 checks. You like the notion of direct dispersal of revenue to the people?
I think it's a good idea, but we shouldn't get carried away because we're all going to have to pay for it eventually. I like the idea of kind of a twin program where we help people with some kind of immediate bump in their bank account, but also we need to incentivize businesses to stay in business and to grow somehow. So I think there should be tax breaks for businesses that open new locations or try to expand, and something like that coupled with a short-term bump for people to have a little bit more spending in their pocket it would be a best design program in my mind.
So would that be the type of program where if you open a business and you create X number of jobs, that your business will get a tax credit that'll be sizable?
Yeah, something exactly like that. So the incentive structure is for you to invest in your business, which a byproduct of which is going to be more jobs, and that's the engine that will keep the economy going. And then a little bump in people's bank account will give them a little more spending, a little more purchasing power that month, but is really futile in the long term.
In our final couple of minutes, I want to talk politics. I want to talk about the race.
Sure.
Joe Biden came out from the bunker and had a new kind of a news conference. There wasn't anything of any substance to come out of it, but that's okay. What do you think of these final 4 months? In fact, I just looked at the calendar. 4 months and 1 day as of today to Election Day.
There's really not that much time. I love the hashtag Biden be Biden. I've had a lot of fun with that on my Twitter account. But I think that we got to look, that, you know, the contrast right now between Trump out there doing things and Biden hiding, to me it's the same thing as Trump and his presidency and Biden as vice president. They got Obamacare done and then basically did very little else for the next 7 years. You know, Obama didn't take on China. You know, Obama didn't take on Europe with these trade deals. Obama didn't reform NAFTA. An awful lot of stuff Biden didn't do. That Trump it's a little bit messy, but Trump's trying to fix immigration. Trump's trying to fix these trade deals. And, you know, why would we want Obama-Biden that accomplished nothing, you know, when we had 8 years of that? Trump is a little bit messy, but you know what? He's standing up for Americans. He's putting Americans first. And he's out there trying to make positive change. And I think that's what people should want in a leader. And this virus has been messy and unexpected and very, very difficult. But Trump has stood there in front of the media with these press conferences. He's gone out to these locations at great risk to himself, but he's gone to, you know, places like Arizona, Wisconsin, et cetera, while Biden's been hiding. And I think the contrast in leadership to me couldn't be clearer. Trump is stronger in the economy. Trump is willing to stand up and put America first with these trade deals like USMCA. And the Obama administration had the chance to do all that with Biden's help, and they didn't do it. So why would we want Biden?
Good point. And, of course, tomorrow the president goes out to Mount Rushmore. I've never been to Mount Rushmore, but is there any physical risk to going out into the middle of nowhere, you know, and having some fun with people and enjoying fireworks? Is there anything wrong with that?
Well, you know, my brother proposed at Mount Rushmore, so I think that's a special place to him. But I think that you have got, you know, if you're outdoors, I think the risk goes down. And I like the contrast that Trump is willing to go out into the country, into middle America, and say, look, I realize this is part of America, too. I'm not hiding in my basement, and I understand that part of leading is being seen and going out and being with people, and that's fundamentally who America is and what we need to get back to. And I think the contrast is very clear, and I think Democrats are very overconfident right now.
Hey, Dan, it's always good to visit with you. Hope you and the family have a wonderful 4th of July, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you, sir. You too.
Dan Eberhardt joining us, the CEO of Canary LLC, a Denver-based drilling services company, and the managing partner of Eberhardt Capital. So he knows a lot about money as well. Coming up, somebody knows about the truck driving industry, because Paul Enos is the CEO of Nevada Trucking Association and represents truckers all across the state of Nevada. We'll talk with him coming up next. We'll find out what was in his job reports for the trucking industry. We'll get to that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. You're listening to AM 670 KMZQ.
KMZQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.